Glad that you have come our way. A woman went to a judge and said, I need to get my man out of jail. And the judge asked her, why is he here? And she said, he stole a ham. And so the judge said, I bet you need him out so that he can go back to work. Got to be tough at home on a mom and kids. And she said, no. Said he's never worked a day in his life. Laziest bum you've ever seen. And the judge said, well, if you're not wanting him out because you need him to work, it's because obviously he's good to you. He must treat you like a queen and is absolutely a fantastic dad. And she said, no. Said he's a dirty, rotten scoundrel. He's never treated me worth a cent. Never treated the kids good. And so the judge said, well, if you don't want him out because he's a good worker or because he's a good dad, what do you need him out for? She said, we're out of ham. Not very faithful, is it? Although there is some a little faithful in there. We're going to talk a little bit more this morning about one of the fruits of the Spirit in faithfulness. One of the things that God asks you to be is faithful. Faithful in a lot of different things, actually, the Bible says. And so this morning, as we look at a few things, we're going to look at some things that deal with being faithful. First thing you got to understand, of course, there are two things that will get you to heaven. You got to have these two. First is Jesus. You know, it's who you know. You got to have the who you know. Without Jesus, you can't get there. But it's not just knowing Jesus, it's also how you live that's important. Those are two things. I know I have given you a long outline this morning. You have a lot of blanks. Let me encourage you to fill them in. And I'll just tell you this, if you can get all the blanks right this morning, then I'm going to give you free homemade ice cream next Wednesday night. So you just hold me to that, okay? We'll see if you can get them all. Two things you need to know. You got to know somebody who is Jesus, and you got to know how to live. One of the things we're going to talk about this morning, we've talked about in the last couple of weeks who you know. This morning we're going to talk about how you live. That's a key to going to heaven as well. It's not just who you know, but it's how you apply it and how you live. Somebody says, well, why is it important that I be faithful? Why should I be faithful? A couple of things you need to know with this. One is because God is faithful. God is faithful. That's pretty simple, isn't it? When you think about... Ooh, that was quick. Let me back up. Okay. When you think about faithfulness, sometimes if somebody said something about faithful, you might think, well, you know, my old dog's faithful. I got an old faithful dog. I really do. Somebody might say, well, I've got an employee that's faithful. He's been faithful for 40-something years. Somebody might think of old faithful, the gusher, a geyser that blows on a regular basis all the time, and you can know when it's going off. But one of the reasons you need to be faithful is because God is faithful. That's one of the things that you've got to understand. God is faithful. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6 asks a faithful man who can find. And then in the book of Psalms in verse 4 of chapter 32 says that God is faithful in all that He does. Faithfulness means dependability, it means reliability, it means consistent. God's faithful, we should be faithful. Another reason that we should be faithful is also because God rewards faithfulness. Somebody says, now how does that work? Do you remember the story? We won't go into it in detail. Matthew 25, the people with talents, a man gave different servants a certain amount of money and said, you go work with these things. And I'm going to keep this with you. And he gave one 10, one 5, and one 1. And you remember, the one that was faithful was the ones that took and worked. And they were rewarded by giving more. God has always rewarded faithfulness. Another reason to be faithful as we go through here is because faithfulness simply makes life better. I thought this week of a thing about faithfulness. Do y'all remember, those who are big baseball fans, well, Cal Ripken Jr. is going to be always associated with baseball. Hall of Famer. The thing that made Cal Ripken Jr., the baseball player he is, was his faithfulness. The fact that he
showed up every day to play. Cal Ripken Jr. played a record-setting 2,131 games over a 12-year career. And when he finally broke that record for the longest playing streak of showing up every day, just being faithful, you remember the night they had a huge celebration. They gave him a 22-minute standing ovation that night. The world stopped. Cameras pointed, because here was a guy who had demonstrated something that we don't always see anymore, and that was simply faithfulness. He had done his job, and he had done it faithfully. So I guess my question I ask you this morning is, how faithful are you? Can people look to you and see you as faithful? Let's look at six things this morning that are going to show if you're faithful, if I'm faithful, six things that demonstrate our faithfulness. And if you'll notice there, the first one that we're going to do is we're going to keep our promises. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That shows a lot of faithfulness, is keeping your promises, doing what you said that you would do. I like from the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 14. It'll tell you, like clouds without rain is a man who boasts gifts and does not give. That's somebody who does not keep his promises. Then that next verse will tell you that it is not good for a man to dedicate something rashly and then to consider his vows. You see, we have lots of people that talk a good game, but sometimes they don't put up. Unkept promises, big or small, show a lack of faithfulness. Whether it's telling somebody, I'll pray for you, and not doing it. Whether that's being somebody who says, I'll be there, you can expect me, and not showing up. Whether that is a husband saying, I'll be home at a certain time. There are things that come up at certain times. We understand that. But you don't make promises you don't ever intend to keep. As a parent, you don't make promises that you can't keep. In fact, as a parent, you'll learn, those who haven't yet, is sometimes you've got to be careful. Sometimes you make promises and you don't know that you've made promises, right? A child, as you're driving by the pizza place with all the arcade games, will go, Dad, can we go there? And you say, sometime. And you know what that means to that child? Tomorrow we're going there. So you got to be careful. And then they'll remind you for the next 20, Dad, you said we could go there. You promised we were going there. When that's not quite what you said, but that's what they understood. So you be careful sometimes how you answer the question, because you want to keep your promises. It shows faithfulness, and that's what we're told to be, is faithful. And we're faithful in our promises. Are you a person of your word? You know as well as I do that years ago that they did deals, business deals on a handshake. There were people that used to say, you have my word, and it actually meant something. You could count on them. They would never go back on the fact that they gave their word, they put up, and they will deliver. And now if you make a deal of any size, it takes two or three lawyers and a stack of papers, a pile high. Because that's been too many people that said, boy, you got my word, and they didn't come through. Does God expect you to be faithful in your promises? You bet He does. He expects you to be faithful. Isn't that simple? You want to go to heaven? It depends on who you know. It also depends on how you live. One of the areas in your life you're supposed to be is faithful. Let me give you another way that you show your faithfulness. Somebody says, well, how do I demonstrate my faithfulness in my day-to-day activities? Well, another one you do is you honor your marriage. I love what the writer in Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4 when he says, marriage should be honored by all. And then he'll talk about the marriage bed should be kept pure. That marriage is something you don't go into on a whim. That it's to be honored. You show your faithfulness in your marriage. I love the lady that said recently at her 50th wedding anniversary, she leaned over and whispered and she told me, said, I've never, ever once considered leaving that man, ever. She said, now there's been a few times I've thought about killing him, but I've never, ever
considered leaving him, because she had realized that marriage was to be honored. That's a little different than the wedding vows you hear sometimes today. I did a wedding last weekend, had a beautiful service. I thought everything went well. I saw wedding vows. I've seen other wedding vows of different people who do them. Saw some on TV the other day. I had never done any like this, but their wedding vows were, do you promise to stay married as long as you stay in love? Man, my ears kind of perked up. I thought, wow, now this was just a TV show, but that's our society today. You're married as long as you stay in love. It's not a till death do you part thing anymore. As long as I love her, she loves me. As long as she's not burning my toast in the morning at breakfast, as long as he's meeting my needs, I'm in this. But boy, you miss out and I'm checking out. You see, Jesus says, no, there's faithfulness in marriage. Marriage should be honored, and you show faithfulness in your marriage. It's a till death do you part thing. The love, the cherish, the honor, for better, for worse. And it's not just a checking out thing. There's a lot of folks say, well, does that just mean you don't want your spouse? No, there's a lot of times. Honor also means that you give your spouse the number one place in your life, right behind God. Your spouse is the first thing of importance on this earth. That means there's no hobby, there's no occupation, there's no material thing that comes in front of. There's a lot of folks say, hey, I'd never leave my wife. I'd never leave my husband. But there's a whole lot more things that I consider important than they are. And that's not faithfulness. That's not honoring. That's not what God wants. You think about it, God wants us to honor the marriages that we have. I'll give you a third thing when you talk about faithfulness. Here's another one. Stand by your friends. That shows faithfulness. Be someone that you can be counted on when it comes to friends. You know the verse from Proverbs 27. Do not forsake your friends. And even it goes on to say, and the friends of your father. Because if your father has friends that are dependable, then you probably need to be nice to them too. And it talks about a friend loves more or closer than oftentimes a brother. Friendship, a lot of times, will show a lot in your faithfulness. David and Jonathan, we're studying on Wednesday nights in auditorium class about David and Jonathan and their friendship. David and Jonathan had a friendship that was amazing. You stand by your friends. Now somebody says, well, you know, how important is that? Well, of course, you put your marriage above your friend. You know, that came long before your friend did. But you understand that you stand by your friends. Men, it's not quite as easy sometimes as women. Women oftentimes seem to have a group of friends that they can depend on. Men don't, they just don't seem to mesh as well. Maybe it's a manly thing. If you're a man and you've got other friends who are men that you say, I can depend on that guy, then you're a blessed person. You're a blessed person. You look around and you find some men that you can trust, some men that are your friends, and then those are people that you rely on. Somebody once made this suggestion, and this is to men and women. If you had five letters to write to your five closest friends, who would those letters go to? And you might sit down and think about that for a second and then think, if everybody else was given that assignment, the same assignment, would anybody send you a letter? Would you receive any letters from anybody else saying, hey, you are my friend, I find you faithful? That's pretty big. When I left here back in 92 and went to Tulia, Brother Harold Kinnemer had preached there for 14 years. And then he'd also preached there earlier. He had come back a second time. When he retired, it wasn't a very popular decision among some of the older members, and that's just to be expected. He had a couple that just loved him to death, did not want to see him go. When I went there, I was very concerned with everybody, you know, accepting me as the new young guy, not having a clue what I was doing. One of those people came to me who sat down in my office and said, I want you to understand something. said, I am a big fan of Harold Kinnaman. I love him dearly. He has been my preacher. But she said, and this was a her, she said, but I want you to know that as long as you're here, that I'll stand by your side and I will be your friend too. And I told her I appreciated knowing that because that meant a lot to hear from someone that didn't know me very well at the time, didn't know me at all, to know that she was going to say, hey, I loved him, but I'm gonna do my best to love you too. That's a friendship of somebody standing by. And she did. She stood by that promise for the whole time. And we built a great friendship together. And I thought that was amazing. Give me another one. And this one we'll spend a little bit more time on. When you show your faithfulness, I think it's interesting. A lot of people don't know this, but the way you manage your money shows your faithfulness. Boy, we really jumped down. Okay, the way you manage your money shows your faithfulness. We are in the process. There you go. We're in the process of working through a few bugs with our system. If you have not been faithful with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Here's a question that I want to ask you about some things. Are you a wise manager of God's money entrusted to you and the things that He has given you to care for? Here's four questions to ask yourself real quick when you find out, well, am I faithful in my money? Am I faithful with those things? Is my first fruit that of initial giving? Now, what I mean is how you can say, well, am I doing well in the money thing? Well, is your first fruit, is the first part of what you get from a salary, from wherever it is, that of an initial giving? Do you say, God, I want you to have yours right off the top? Because that's what He actually required of the Israelites. He said, look, I want your first fruits. When the crops come due at the first of the year, when you start bringing everything in, you give me mine up front. That shows faithfulness. A lot of times instead, you know how we do things? We come along and we holler in there at our wives or our husbands and we'll go, honey, did you pay the cable bill this month? We're down at the end of the month and I want to make sure, oh, it got paid. Will you look and see if there's anything left for God this week? And we kind of put it off at that and we say, boy, and that's what not making God the first fruit of your initial giving is when you come along and go, well, if there's anything left at the end, then we'll see if we've got anything there for God. And what shows to be a wise thing and a faithful thing is starting at the top and say, look, this is God's and I'm not going to get into it. And it's important that you understand that that shows faithfulness in what you do. Also, another question you might want to ask yourself, am I faithful with my financial commitments? Do I pay my bills? Am I one of those that can come along and when I make a commitment and say, look, I'll pay you back, are you willing to do just that? Another thing that you might be willing to do, am I spending on what I need to spend on? Do I take the money that I'm getting in that I need to use for my family to pay bills, and am I using that for something that I shouldn't use it on? Am I using that for pleasure? Am I using that for fun when I should be using it for something else? That shows faithfulness. And one other question, when I compare my giving to my spending to my savings, is there some balance? Now I think this is important, and let me explain. Because I think we've preached both sides a whole lot of times. What that means is if all you're doing is bringing in what money you have coming in from work and you're giving some, but you don't save anything, that's not wise. The book of Proverbs teaches us that it's good to save money. The grasshopper, the ant is the one he talked about, was the hard worker, the one who works. Now the old story, but not from the book of Proverbs, is about the ant and the grasshopper, and the grasshopper didn't do anything. So it's important that you save. Now, what I want you to catch is we've also become, from the other standard to the other extreme, we've become a people who say, well, it's all about saving. In fact, I heard a guy the other day said, look, you need to be putting up this much of your salary, and it'll make this much interest, and by the time you retire at your 65, you're going to have about $6 million. And I'm thinking, what do you need $6 million with? Why do you need six? What are you concerned with? I mean, that's one big RV you plan to buy, isn't it? $6 million. Well, you can leave something to your children. My children don't need $6 million. Although they might argue with you about that. And so while you need to lay by in store, I don't think God's concerned with $6 million so that one day you'll have enough to eat. In fact, there was a guy who did kind of like that in this life, in Luke chapter 12, and he just kept getting more and more and more so that he could retire. And you know what? Do you remember what Jesus called him, what God called him? A fool, because all he had done was spend his life saving up, and he hadn't put any of his savings up in the account that counted, which was heaven. No spiritual treasures. Now, I'm not saying, hey, go blow all your savings and things like that. What I am saying, there's got to be a balance. It shows faithfulness. If I am taking all my funds and stashing them and putting them in a hole and covering them up, saying nobody can have them, nobody can use them, I'm not sharing anything, that doesn't show faithfulness. That doesn't show faithfulness. Let me give you a fifth way that you can show faithfulness. I don't want to be that poor gal right there. She's got a big job, doesn't she? Whatever you do, do a good job. Now, you may feel like that person does. You may feel like sometimes, man, I am just snowed under. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 will tell you, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not men. Do a good job. Doesn't that make sense? Whether you're at work, whether you're volunteering for work here at the church, for vacation Bible school, whether you're working in the community, whether you are working for your mom and dad, carrying out the garbage, whether it is your wife has asked you to help her around, do a good job. Do a good job. Are you dependable? If somebody comes in to apply for a job, they're looking for somebody whose characteristics are dependable, reliable, and consistent. That's what you need. I knew a man one time that was a salesperson, and he'd come to town, and he'd say, look, I'll be there on Tuesday. Can you be there Tuesday? And I'd say, yes, what time are you going to be there? Right after lunch. I'd wait all day on that guy. And the next day he'd call going, I guess you can tell I didn't make it by. And I'd go, oh, yeah, I'd kind of noticed. I'd waited all day for you. And then he'd call, well, I'll be there Thursday. And I'd wait. And after about the third time, I was a little slow. After about the third time, I picked up that you can't count on this fella. You can't count on this fella. Aggravated him. You know what I did? He told me, he said, I'm going to be there Wednesday. I didn't hang around. I left. Guess what? He called and said, I'm here. Where are you? And I said, I've waited for you 3 days. And now you show up. Said, I couldn't count on you. Not very good when it comes to business. Not very good when it comes to faithfulness. Right? Let me give you one more. Here's another way to show your faithfulness. Commit to the church. Commit to the church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, it talks about how God added to the church those who were being saved, and about how they committed to one another, and they committed to the group, and they provided for one another's needs. And just like you studied in Bible class this morning, there was community in that. People were selling things to help other people. There was commitment to what God wanted you to do. Now, I meet people all the time that'll say, oh, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, but I don't want anything to do with church. Which I don't understand, because for a couple of reasons. One is because the Bible says that Jesus is going to save the church. That the church consists of the saved in there, and so I want to be a part of that. Well, I can do my religion all by myself. Well, I don't read anywhere where it says Paul didn't want to meet with anybody. He wanted to do things all by himself. Commit to the church. Now, you're here this morning, so I doubt this really is where you fall into. You're here, I take it there was a little commitment, unless you were drugged by your spouse somehow this morning or by your parents. But there's also another way you commit. There's another group here that says, well, I'm committed to the church. The other way you commit is you give of your time. You give of your means. You give of your finances. You volunteer. You serve. There's a lot of folks that come and say, hey, I'm just really good at cheering. I'd rather sit on the bench and tell everybody else you're doing a good job. Paul said, hey, everybody's a part of the body. Everybody needs to do a job. Everybody needs to work. You say, man, I've worked a whole bunch. It's time for me to retire. I hadn't read anywhere where it says in the Bible that once you've done your part, it's time for you to retire. When it comes to your spiritual growth and your teaching and everything else. Make a commitment. Be willing to get involved. Be willing to serve.
Be willing to share. Be faithful. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Just be faithful. You know, I want to go to heaven. Who you know is the number one thing. And you better know Jesus. But it's not just who you know. It's also how you live. And faithfulness is one of those things that God requires. He wants me to keep my promises. He wants me to honor my marriage. He wants me to stand by my friends. He wants me to manage my money because that's a measurement of my faithfulness. He wants me to do a good job. He wants me to be committed to the church. He wants me to be committed to Him. It's faithfulness. So I ask you the same questions I asked at the first. Can people count on you? Do people consider you faithful? One of the lists that Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5 in the fruits of the Spirit is faithfulness. It's one of the things he says you should be. One of the fruits you should bear. There's an apricot tree that is down on 7th. I'll tell you that if you need some apricots, here you go. Down on 7th and G, Avenue G, northwest part of town. Empty house, I'd ask permission, said, oh yeah, I said that fella's not here, go get what you want. I picked a few apricots out there. It was the neatest thing. I found this one little limb, the trunk, the big old wide trunk, and a limb the size of a pencil coming off the trunk that was about 8 inches long. I told Lee, I said, oh, I should have got a picture of that. That thing had 12 apricots on it. I don't know how it was staying on, that the whole thing didn't break off. It was loaded. Jesus would have been proud of that little tree and the fruit that it had produced. It's supposed to bear fruit. That's its job. Loaded with apricots. They were good. If you can climb the tree, you can still get a few of them. You're the same kind of tree. You're not going to bear apricots, but you're going to bear fruit of faithfulness. People ought to look at your little bitty old limb coming off the trunk. That's Jesus. But you ought to be shooting right off of him and look up there and go, man, she's loaded with faithfulness. Look at all that. I need a picture of her. He's loaded with gentleness, or with goodness, or with love, or with joy. All fruits of the Spirit. All things you should be. People should look at your life, your tree, and go, wow, they are loaded. Because that's what God has asked you to be. You should bear fruit. And the tree that doesn't, do you remember from chapter 15 of the book of John? The tree that doesn't bear fruit, that's a tree that should be cut down and thrown into the fire. My little peach tree in my backyard, third year, no peaches. I'm thinking long and hard about firewood this winter. I'm going to give it another chance. I talked to it the other day. Said, this is your last chance. How about your life? Are you bearing fruit? You bearing fruit? Are you bearing faithfulness? We'll offer an invitation at this time. If you need to respond, we'd like to encourage you to come while we stand and we sing this song.